I'm hoping this short introduction should take about 10 or 15 minutes only, and I've really only got 3 points I want to make in it. First, why a weekend on the new creation? Second, what's the aim exactly of this weekend? And three, how can we get the most out of the weekend? So first of all, why a weekend on the new creation? The answer is because the new creation is the goal of all God is doing. So it's a huge idea, huge theme in the Bible plan, in God's plan. And at this stage in the overview, towards the back end of the whole story, we are really in a good place to understand it because we can see the whole of the story and we can begin to see where the new creation is fitting into it. That would have been something hard to do before you did an overview or earlier in the overview year, when you might know the new creation existed, but we wouldn't have been in a position to see how everything came together to lead up to it. I think it's very important in order to understand the overview, the new creation correctly, to see how it fits in the story as a whole. Even more important than we can now understand it, it's really important to understand because I think it is probably the most important truth that the church at large doesn't think about very much. Let me say that again. It's the most important truth that the church just normally doesn't think about very much. And this lack of awareness of the new creation and what it is and why it matters leads many Christians, I think, to have a wrong view of the gospel. Many Christians today tend to think that the gospel, that our Christian lives, that the church today is about something like putting right the problems of the world, or gaining blessings in this world, or having experiences as a Christian, God experiences in this world. But you'll notice the underlying theme in all of those is in this world. And lots of those things really matter. Putting right the problems of the world matter. Gaining blessings really matter. Experiencing and relating to God rightly really matter. But the point of the Bible story is God isn't doing a lot of those things in this world. He's doing them in the new creation. But if we don't understand the new creation, we won't see that. And we'll have the wrong idea of what the gospel is all about, what Christianity is all about, which is, I think, where a lot of the church is. That makes this issue of the new creation actually quite different to most other issues that divide the church. So if you think about other issues that divide the church, things like the place of the Holy Spirit today, or to what extent God speaks only through His Word today, they are issues that most people are aware of and disagree over. This is one that people just haven't even thought about, rather than know they disagree over. I think it's a very important thing for people not to be thinking about at all. I think there are two reasons why the church at large is so unthinking, unthought through on this issue. Actually, I'll stand up rather than sit down for this part. The first is because we today have become more and more focused on this world. Everywhere in the world, the secular world is focused on this world. That's what the media does, television, films, advertising, it all makes us focused on the things of this world and what you want in this world. We in the West are very fortunate. We have a lot in this world, and our goal is to keep it and maintain it and enjoy it. And large parts of the world are less fortunate and they don't have those things, and their great goal is to have all these things that they see on their television that Hollywood portrays as the ideal life. But whether you have it or you don't have it, people today are very focused on this world. And because we're so focused on this world, I think people everywhere, Christians, non-Christians alike, just don't think about death and what happens afterwards. And that fact makes us just not think about the new creation, which is where we might go after death. So that's one reason we don't think about, just an over-focus on this world. The second reason I think we don't focus on it very much is in order to understand it properly, we need a grasp of how the whole Bible story works. As I said, it helps us so much to understand it if we can see how the whole Bible story is working to head up to it. Once upon a time, long, long ago, people thought much more about how the whole Bible works. But in the last 2 or 3 centuries, that's not been something people have thought about much at all. and therefore is sort of dropped out of the consciousness of the church as a whole. And it's only in the last couple of decades it's really come back in again in a slowish sort of way, but increasingly it's coming back in. And I think that's a really good thing, and hopefully the new creation will come back on the agenda as something we need to focus on. Let me just take a small digression here. If you look back on church history, you'll see that over the 2,000 years of church history, there have been hundreds, literally hundreds, possibly even into the thousands of heresies. But actually, a lot of those heresies bunch together, and at different points in the history, for centuries at a time, there's one underlying thing that causes all those errors, one misconception or one issue that people are obsessed about that underlie all the heresies that come up. So for the first five centuries or so of the church's life, the big issue was the nature of God. That's partly because that's what Greek philosophy was interested in. And they were so interested in the nature of God, and most of the heresies, many of the things that if you've done any theology, you know about, things like how do the three persons of the Trinity work together? Is Jesus fully God? How can Jesus both be fully God and fully man? All those were issues that came up in the first five centuries because that was the issue. You then get the Dark Ages where you don't get very much of anything. And then you have the Middle Ages when the big issue is how are we saved? Is it by what we do? And the answer the Reformation came up with obviously is no. God has done it for us by grace. We need to have faith. And that issue of how are we saved really dominates for about three or four centuries through the Middle Ages. And then at 1630-something, I think, Descartes goes into a room and sort of thinks a little bit and comes up with his dictum of, I think, therefore I am. And the whole issue of how do I know becomes the big issue. And for about four centuries from then until now, the big issue that's dominated, underlying most new heresies, has been how do I know? Is there truth? We're obviously in the final stages of that now with postmodernism. Truth doesn't exist. Impossible for anybody to know anything. But the big answer there, obviously, that the Bible had is we know because God has revealed it in his word. But everybody else was trying every other alternative as a heresy. I think we're now beginning to enter an era where we may be entering another sort of mega trend where the new creation might well be the underlying issue. Because so many of the problems that you see in the church today stem from not understanding that this world is not everything. As I said, the reason for that is because we live in a world that has made this world everything and where media manages to portray it to the whole world as everybody should be wanting this Hollywood lifestyle. That means that everyone, whether you are poor and have nothing, or you are very rich and have everything, you still have aspirations to have that wonderful lifestyle. And therefore, that's underlying a lot of errors in the church today as people grapple with that. So I could be wrong. It's obviously, if it is a big trend, it'll only be proven in the decades, even centuries to come. But there's so many heresies that seem to be coming out of this that I wonder whether this might be even more important than we think, because it may underline this mega trend in church errors. So that is why it matters, why we wanted a weekend on the new creation. What's the aim for this weekend? Three main aims, much more briefly. The first is to understand what a huge place the new creation has in God's plan and how wonderful it is. The new creation matters. All these other things I've just talked about matter because the new creation is not a small deal. It is a very, very, very big deal in God's plan and a very, very, very wonderful thing. And that's why it matters. So one of the things I want us to understand this weekend is how big a deal it is and how wonderful it is. The second aim for the weekend is to understand why it has such a large part, such large place in God's plan. And when I say why, I don't mean what evidence is there. That's the previous point. What I mean is, why would God's plan actually not work? God not actually be able to achieve his purposes of bringing glory to himself and glory to his Son if it wasn't for the new creation? The new creation isn't an optional extra. It is absolutely at the heart of God's plan. The plan does not work without it. And that's what I hope we'll be able to see on Sunday morning. I think it is crucial to rightly understand the new creation, to understand not just that it is a big thing in God's plan, but why it is. I'm firmly of the opinion that if you don't understand why something is the case, you don't actually understand it. And so we'll need to understand why it's such a big thing in order to rightly understand it. And that's the second goal for the weekend. And the third goal of the weekend is to understand it, the implications of that for us now. So the new creation is something that's in the future. We won't get it until Jesus returns or we die and go be with him. But that doesn't mean that now is just an academic exercise, something to think about, but that's it. It should have massive, massive implications for us. It does have massive implications for us. The New Testament shows us it has massive implications for us. And that's what I want to grapple with over this weekend. And can I say that that is such a big deal that we've organized the timetable for this weekend around it. So the right way to do things theoretically is you have the theory sessions first, and then you have the application sessions afterwards. I've got two theory sessions and two application sessions, but we're not doing the two theory sessions first and then the two application sessions, because that means we'd be doing the application sessions without much time to think about it. So what we're doing is theory tomorrow morning, two application sessions tomorrow, and then the final theory session on Sunday morning, so that we can spend the whole of Saturday afternoon and evening just kicking around some of the implications, because I think they're so important that we begin to think them through. So the whole timetable has been organized around thinking through, why does this matter for us today? Why is this not just something which my notebook needs to know, but my brain and my heart can safely ignore? So that's the final aim for the weekend. And the final thing I want to say is, how can we get the most out of the weekend? The answer is to do what I was saying earlier, which is don't just sit and receive, but think, engage, discuss. Thanks. I want us to engage with this material that I'm giving us and not simply to receive it and write it down in our notebooks, because I think we'll only really understand it if we engage and think about it. My style, just to give you forewarning, is to be quite provocative. I'm never knowingly understated. So I will try to put things quite starkly, but the reason for that is to get us to think about it. Now, just to keep you on the toes, because somebody said to me in a previous weekend I did, previous time we did this new creation weekend, yes, Michael, we just discounted everything you said because we know you overstated. Some things will be overstated, but not everything. So your goal is, you'll need to think about it. And if it's overstated, it might be, but there might still be some truth in it. And some things won't be overstated. How do we get the most out of it? Therefore, engage with what I'm saying. Think, are these things so? Is this really what the Bible says? Pray, as we've just been saying. Be hungry to hear God. Just think about what we're doing. I think we so often, when we come to church these days, just forget what it is we're actually doing when we come to church, whether it's church on a Sunday or Read, Mark, Learn on a Thursday or a weekend like this, or indeed when we do anything in our Christian lives, read our Bible, do our prep for Read, Mark, Learn, have our quiet times. What are we doing? And what we're doing is we're meeting with the living God. When we did Isaiah 40, we saw what God is like, didn't we, in that wonderful passage. For those of us who come along on Sunday evenings to St. Helens, we were reminded about what that God is like last Sunday by Tim in that great sermon. Our God is so great. The entire universe, I've forgotten what the number is, trillions of light years across, unbelievable in scale. God says that's one hand span. All the waters of all the oceans, God scoops up in his hand. Our God is that big. And he's not just that big. He is that wise, and he is that good, and he's that faithful, and he's that loving. And when we come to church, when we read our Bibles, when we do our Bible studies, when we come on a weekend like this, we are meeting with that God to hear that God speak to us. It is very, very serious business. It is not something to mess around with. So when you come to this weekend, realize that we're here on something really serious. It's a lovely venue. We'll have fun together. I hope we'll have some nice food together. But more than anything else, we're meeting with our God. And I think we will get the most of our week out of this weekend if we remember that and come expecting to hear God, longing to hear God, hungry to hear God, praying that he would speak to us, praying that we won't go away without having heard him. We don't get anything out of life, or out of any area of life, really, if we don't take it seriously. And that is so much more true of our Christian lives than anything else. But I fear that sometimes we seem to have forgotten that. So I'd strongly encourage us this weekend to remember what we're doing and to come expectant and hungry and really longing that God would speak to us. And can I, as an aside, say, do come to Read, Mark, Learn on Thursdays with that attitude. Do, when you do your prep for it, don't start thinking, oh, I suppose I better do my prep. I really don't want to, but my leader will be on my case if I don't. We're meeting with a living God. Take it seriously. There's a verse in the Bible, which I'm going to get Will to read out in a moment, in Deuteronomy 32, 45 to 47, for your notes or for your memory. It's towards the back end, is right at the very back end of Moses giving the law to the people. And this is what he says to them. Will, Deuteronomy 32, 45 to 47, please.
And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess.
Thank you. Now, obviously, that was the Mosaic law. But the principle, I think, is true for everything God says. It is not an empty word. In some of the old other translations, it is no small thing. It is no trifling matter. It is your very life. By it, you will live long in the land. It is a very, very big deal. And I think it's good for us to remember that at all times in our Christian life, but particularly this weekend. And there's another verse which I think James Healy Hutchinson reminded us of at the start of the last weekend, but I want to put it back on the table because it's so important, which is the Bereans in Acts 17. The Bereans were a village, a town in Greece, who Paul visited after he'd visited Thessalonica. The Thessalonians basically didn't want to hear his message. They threw him out. So he went to Berea, and this is Luke's a comment on the Bereans in Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. Will.
The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
Thank you. So again, I'd really encourage us, as I said, not to take what I said for granted. Not to just take what I've said blindly. Don't assume I'm right. Don't assume I'm wrong. Take what I'm saying and go to the scriptures and see whether they're right or not. Because it matters so much. Be like those noble Bereans who I think should be role models for us in everything Christian. Being noble and going to the scriptures to see if these things be so. And the final way we make the most of the weekend is by being rested enough to engage and appreciate it. And I think the key to a good weekend is often a very good night's sleep on the Friday night, because we all have had busy weeks, we've worked hard, we're exhausted. And I think if we have a good night's sleep tonight, we're more likely to be able to make the most of the weekend. And to that end, we've actually started the program tomorrow morning, 15 minutes later than normal. Don't waste those 15 minutes, please. They're meant to be sleep time so that we can get the most out of the weekend. Why don't I pray for us? Father God, thank you so much for your incredible salvation plan. Thank you, Father, for Jesus in the middle of it, achieving your goal in it. Thank you, Father, for the goal itself, your new creation, where you will be with us as our Father, your son with us as our bridegroom for all eternity, and where we will enjoy you and the blessings you want us to have forever. Help us to understand this weekend, Father, just how important it is, how great a thing it is. Make us, Father, people who long for it and live for it in all ways now. Father, help us, we pray, to be those who are hungry to hear you, eager to take on board what you say, who will be noble Bereans, going to the scripture to see if these things are so and to learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.